Couple years down the road, you wake up. Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
That's my alarm.
You have like an old Swiss cuckoo clock.
That's kind of cool.
It's fucking gorgeous.
Really?
It's like $7,000.
Whoa.
Right? It's like that level of beautiful and craftsmanship.
It's like old.
Oh yeah. It's at
How's it?
least 112 years old
How's the time?
that you know of for sure.
Okay, sure. Does it keep good time?
Dude, you've never seen anything that could keep something like this. Right?
Do you mean?
Fucking Neil Peart couldn't keep time like this fucking clock. It's actually how you came into possession of it. Yeah, this you're a bit of a clock guy at this point in your life. It's just you found a thing, it struck your fancy, you started collecting, you started breaking them down, you started looking at them,
Okay.
and you've gotten really into clock making and just like
Okay.
the craftsmanship of being like a clockmaker, right?
Yeah.
You deal in some of these like antique clocks, like you're very knowledgeable, you know your shit. You're like maybe the third most knowledgeable guy in the country about like this specific thing that you're doing, right?
Wow.
Yeah. You've got a shop that you run out of your house. It's called Time.
Time.
Yeah.
Like it's time for some time.
Like it's time to talk about time.
Sure. Okay.
The clock specifically. So you're running time, right? Things are pretty good, right? Again, you do. The business over the years has sort of transitioned from you really starting out as like more of like a dealer and somebody who was very knowledgeable and had a good eye for things. Then you started doing like a little bit of minor restoration, and then from there it just kind of built into this thing where you were doing like full on like repairs from the ground up, you know, sourcing parts, recreating the ones you couldn't find, and becoming like a true master of your craft.
Wow.
The clock community of the of North America knows you very well. You gave a 33-minute long speech at their annual gathering in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Wow. What was the speech about?
Just like the art of all of it, and it was more like high level, like what's your passion?
Oh, okay.
You know, you came out on stage, you were wearing that microphone, the headset mic, right? You had a tight white dress shirt tucked into some black slacks. You can clearly make out the undershirt underneath. I don't know why, I think it's very funny. And you pace around the stage at the Wilmington Civic Center. All 3,500 people who showed up.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is like one of the biggest like clock events in the world. And you kind of have like risen to fame over the last, you know, year or so in the community. So you weren't really sure what to expect. You get there way bigger than what you think, right? You've got like a little booth. People would come by with like pieces and you would talk to them about what they have and a bit of it like an antiques roadshow kind of vibe, you know. But you did have some people who would come in and show you what they've got and maybe make you an offer on something if you were looking to wheel and deal. So were they.
Okay.
So you're there in the Wilmington Civic Center. You've been on the floor for about 9 hours now. People constantly at your booth, right? You sit down to grab a quick bite, Subway catered the lunch. Classic Subway catered lunch, you know, it's a cold cut, right? There's a veggie delight. Subway. We don't talk to that Jared guy anymore.
That's their slogan now?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you still see, like, eat fresh, but, you know, it's they've pretty much transitioned. It's probably like an 80-20. We don't talk to that Jared guy anymore versus eat fresh.
Okay, so I guess I walk over and I grab myself a Subway sandwich. Meatballs?
You grab yourself a sandwich? Yeah, they got a little hot tray. You know, and the thing about it was that, man, to be honest with you, they delivered those sandwiches hours ago. But you just couldn't get away from your fucking desk, right? One of the sweet ladies who was, like, kind of keeping the place up throughout the day came over, and she goes, I've seen you haven't had your sandwich yet. She goes, I'll pack one for you. What do you want? And you tell her, like, meatball would be great.
Please.
So she packs you one in, like, a little, you know, plate, wraps it up. She leaves it on the table underneath where they're serving everything. So you walk over there, you pull it out, still warm somehow.
Cool. After 9 hours?
Yeah. So you kind of sit there, do you look out on the hustle and bustle going on down there on the floor, and you just think about all the deals that are being made? All the chimes that will ring upon new ears every hour. Nothing excites you more than when you first get a clock. You bring it home. You set it up in your den. And you set it to 5 minutes to midnight. You sit on the other end of the table. Press your palms together out in front of you. And grip hard and wait, and nothing turns you on more than the first time clock strikes midnight.
Oh, gross. Oh,
no. You relish every single one of them. By the time it's done, you realize you haven't breathed in. You're just beat red.
Oh, God damn.
And you think about that moment and how all these people got to go home and hear the chime for the first time.
Yeah.
Hear this thing that is suddenly in their life all throughout the day. Forever now. Until the batteries run out or until it needs to be wound again or whatever mechanism it is fails. It's a lot like adopting a dog, you think. Making sure you align with the chime. Because you've had some clocks that, frankly, you did not get along with.
What do you mean?
You had this little German number from 1897. It was black and gold. Came out of this mahogany house, right? And it was just like, it was more of a squeak than anything. And you did not fucking like it. You took it outside and under the moonlight, you fucking beat it to pieces with a hammer.
Wow.
Threw in the fucking trash. Threw in the trash and you go, well, that's $700 wasted.
Yeah, I was going to ask how I get into this, like, initially, because it sounds very expensive.
Well, yeah, but you found a good deal on something and you kind of flipped it, you know? And then you just kind of like worked your way into like finding things. And again, you immersed yourself in the community. You know, you got on all the forums and you go to the events, you know, you're around people. And then you start doing repair and now you have a skill to apply, right? And so people are like meeting you and having you repair their clocks. And then you're buying and flipping the whole time. And you just slowly build this repertoire of like skills within this community and respect amongst all of its members because of your hard work and your just natural intuition, I suppose.
So I open time.
You open time. When somebody comes in, the door chime, it goes time.
Right? That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's done by Alice Cooper. You paid him $50 to do it, and he was like, yeah, sure.
He just did it as like a joke.
No, he was very serious about it. You guys had to sign a contract and everything.
$50?
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around. I don't know.
All right.
So you're standing there in time, right? And you hear it go off, right? Time. You look up, and standing at the counter is what I can only describe as like a frail-looking man, probably in his 30s. He has like cerebral palsy. You know, he's got the hand.
Sure.
He's pale as moonlight. He's got light blue, watery eyes, sunken deep into his skull.
Yeah.
He's wearing a suit that fits him well. It's a little ragged. It's seen better days, but
okay.
You know. You see him, you're at the computer, you're like actively looking for pornography. And you see him walk in and you go, oh, hang on. And you close out of the browser. You leave your headphones plugged in, you know. So you walk up to the counter, you greet the guy, and you go, hey, how can I help you? And he has this like funny sort of like like a little like highbrow way of talking, right? He just
what?
He goes, hello. His arm hangs at his side. He goes, my name is Hugar. Hugar Demetrius. And I have a clock in need of repair.
Wow.
He gestures slowly but broadly with his good arm.
Yeah.
You ask him for a photo of the clock. He pulls out like an actual like 8x10 that he has, like tucked in his jacket pocket, of him like standing next to the clock, and he's like almost like a prom photo, you know?
Okay.
And the clock looks like it's made from the tree, right? It looks like it's just carved directly into the tree. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. It's wow. Clearly a clock, you know, but it's like looks like a fucking tree, right?
Okay. I say to him, I think we can do business. What's your name?
His name is Hugar.
Oh, right.
Demetrius.
Hugar Demetrius.
So he leaves you his business card, right?
How much does he want for it?
Well, he wants you to come look at it. He wants you to see if you can repair it. It's not working.
Okay. Oh, I thought, I was hoping he was selling it.
Well, that's what you kind of think to yourself. You think, like, I need to go look at this thing, see what I'm getting into, and see if maybe it's worth buying. Because it's unlike anything you've ever seen before.
So if I like it, maybe make an offer on it.
Yeah. And then you can fix it on your own time and sell it or keep it however you want.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I guess I go. Lead the way, Hugar.
You did just sell this French little number from 1919.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
It was the fourth clock you had bought. It was a lighthouse. Fire engine red.
Wow.
And on the hour, instead of like a cuckoo coming out, like the light on the lighthouse would like flash and you would see like a silhouette of two people fucking. And instead of like a cuckoo sound, it was just like, you know.
Oh, gross. What how much did I sell it for?
$18,612.
Cool.
So you do have like an empty spot, right? And you think about it, you're like, yeah, maybe I will make an offer if everything looks okay. So you set up an appointment with Hugard Demetrius. You go to your GPS, you go to his place. It's like a beautiful, like, Victorian style house. It's kind of decrepit looking. Like, it's not like in disrepair or anything, but it's, again, has certainly seen better days, right? You pull up and he has like an antique shop in the bottom floor of this place. You go inside, you see Hugar behind the desk. There's a small, like, 20-inch television sitting there playing the news. There's nobody else in the shop. What do you do?
So is he there?
Yeah, he's like at the counter, like, watching the news.
Okay, I walk up to him and I go, hey, Hugo, it's Pat.
He freaks out. He gets so startled. You scare the shit out of him.
Oh, jeez.
And he kind of, like, startles, you know, he almost falls over.
Sorry.
He apologizes. Dude. He's like, no, no problem. He goes, thank you. He goes, thank you for coming. He goes, I just get so caught up in the news.
I can't blame you.
So he walks you through, like, this. Again, it's like a thrift store, right? Like, there's clothes, there's housewares, there's a bunch of books, right? It's all like John Grisham, you know, and Nicholas Sparks. Like, it's just like everything that they made a billion copies of, right?
Yeah.
You walk past like a bag with like 12 different golf clubs in it. None of them match. It wouldn't make any sense to ever play any of them. Two deflated basketballs lie on the floor.
Yeah. I've been in places like these.
It's kind of a sad place, you know?
Yeah.
You walk through a back door and into this, like, back room where you see they have, like, some merchandise that's, like, staged to be, like, brought out next once they sell through whatever's out there. They're organizing, you know, sorting tables are back there. So it's a lot of, like, inventory prep and things like that.
God, that's got to be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. And tucked away in the back corner of this large room, this large dark room, you can see it. You can almost smell it. It smells like a fucking tree, like it's an outside tree, right? Yeah. You can almost tell that the room is more humid because of its presence.
Wow.
You know?
It's a hell of a
So
tree.
You walk back there. There's like a sheet or something kind of draped over it, kind of hiding it, right? Because they don't want people seeing this clock and thinking that the time is the time, you know. That's clearly wrong. It's broken. So he walks you over to it, and you see the clock. And it's, like, larger than you had imagined. Like, it's not going to fit where the one you just sold was at, or the lighthouse clock was.
Okay.
You're going to need, like, more space. You look at this and think, like, this could be the centerpiece of my collection. It's honestly breathtaking. It's such, like, a realistic-looking work of art that you just think, like, it has to be natural. Like, there's no way man did this. Like, this is... It's just too perfect, right?
Wow.
You ask him what's wrong with it. He says, I don't know much about clock. He goes, but I'll be at the front. Come see me, right?
Sure.
So you pull this sheet off, right? You, like, put it on a table. Some lady walks by, sees it, and puts a $2 sticker on it, just leaves it there. They don't fuck around. Stuff doesn't lay around a long time without a price on it. That's rule number one.
Okay.
So she leaves, she walks away. You look around, you're kind of by yourself in this, again, dimly lit room. Very sad, very depressing. You look at the face of this clock and you can see where there's like a little handle that you can open it. Do you open it?
Yeah.
You run your hands along the sides of the tree, feeling every like nook and cranny with your fingers, discovering new places the whole way. Turns you on quite a bit.
Oh, God.
You make your way up to sort of like your face level. I'm just telling you what happens.
I got a lot of kinks, I guess.
Well, I guess. So maybe not enough, according to some. That some people have actively told us. People say, I would love the show, but I want Pat to have more kinks. And I was like, well, look, I can't. Right. Yeah.
We'll lean into it then.
Yeah. So you turn this little handle and the face of the clock swings open. And you look inside and it's all wooden gears. Like everything is wooden. And it looks like, I mean, it looks metallic and like it doesn't look like it's worn down or anything. Like it looks like it's held up for a long period of time.
But it's made of wood.
It's made of wood.
So it doesn't look like old or rotten or anything?
It certainly doesn't look rotten. Yeah, I mean, it may look old in parts, you know, it's kind of a clock made out of wood, but there's the fine layer of dust on the inside of this thing. You look around and you can see, like, in the dust, you can see, like, marks. Like, something has moved around in there. You look a little bit closer and you think you see footprints. What do you do?
I investigate further. I look closer. What kind of footprints? How big are they? What do they resemble?
You lean in and you're kind of like looking into the guts of this clock. It's sort of just the space inside of this tree trunk. And there's a fine layer of dust. And you see small, what appear to be footprints. Small of like maybe they're an inch and a half long. And it looks like left and right. And you see them like running in the opposite direction of you, away from the face. You kind of like stick your head in a little bit further.
I bet
you press down.
Amazing in there.
It smells incredible.
Oh, man.
You stick your head all the way in and you take your first breath fully inside of the tree. And when you do, you have this moment of like, when you were in like fourth grade, you went to like a summer like day camp kind of a thing. And you were there for like 2 weeks, you and your brother both. And your brother had just been like on your hip the whole time. Like he didn't want to try to make friends. He was a little bit younger than you. So you didn't want to be seen with him because you know how kids are at that age.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He finally like went and laid down for a little fucking baby nap. And you got a little bit of time by yourself. And you remember laying on your back on the cool, cool grass, looking up through a thicket of trees, watching the light filter through, hearing the waves of the lake lap against the shore, birds, bugs, somebody driving by. And you're looking at the light as it breaks through different canopies of leaves, and it starts to rain, and it's the exact same smell as when you stick your head inside that fucking tree trunk.
Jeez.
So you're looking around, you see these little tootsie tracks leading away, right? You take a moment to compose yourself.
Sure.
You like press down and it feels very sturdy. You kind of lean in and put more of your weight into the tree. You can move your head around inside there. It's a pretty big open space, you know?
Okay.
So you see like some gears, right? Some gears that are attached to a lever that's attached to the face that turns the dial that tells the time. So you pass beyond the threshold of the gears. And you can kind of see that there's something in there moving around, but it's dark. So you that little pocket flashlight, put it in your tight little mouth.
Oh.
You turn it on with your tongue.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Aaron.
You click the button with your tongue.
Oh.
And for 1 second, you see a dozen small pairs of eyes staring back at you. They're little humanoid creatures. They're wearing hats. They're wearing shirts and stuff and pants.
Ugh.
Like they're dressed like humans. They look tired. One of them steps forward and he has like a laser gun in his hand and he shoots you right in the face with it.
Oh.
Your body shrinks. Your body changes in a brutally painful, violent motion. You go to a normal sized man down to small sized man.
Like their size?
Like their size.
All right.
You're wearing like a little hat now. You've got on a vest, no shirt. You look like one of them.
Oh, fuck.
Tool belt around your waist.
What's going on?
Honestly, you look pretty great.
And...
So the guy with the gun steps up to you and he goes, "Hello there. My name's Binkins." And he goes, "You're here to help with the clock, right?"
Ah, oh, Binkins.
He said it's Dinkins, motherfucker.
Okay,
and he holds
sorry.
That fucking gun to your head and you
All right,
feel this, whoa, 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 this pulse of this laser that he's ready to fucking unleash into your brain.
Okay. Dinkins, I apologize. I misheard you.
Here moves the gun.
I don't really know what's going on here, sir.
He says, "You're here to fix the clock."
I guess I am, yeah.
He goes, "Follow me."
Oh,
and
God.
he leads you down this like long dark tunnel and just circles, right? It's like a spiral staircase going around the inside outermost edge of this tree, and you know that you're descending, right? You can feel it, and they're just singing the whole time. They go down to the bottom, right? They're just singing the whole time.
How long are we walking?
It feels like hours. Your sense of time has definitely been distorted now that you're on this level.
Yeah, and also it's like too dark to think about time.
Your eyes slowly adjust over time as you're down there. You see a little bit more and more. And Dinkins tells you, he's like, "Don't worry, Pat. It'll be okay soon." So your eyes do adjust over time, you know. You make your way down to the base of the tree, and Dinkins leads you over to this set of cogs that are just not working right. They're just not fitting together in a way that will allow the tree to start going.
Okay.
He points to it. You take that flashlight out again. You put it in your mouth. Turn it on with your tongue. Several of the people inside kind of like go, "Oh," but there's one lady in the back who kind of like gets up on her tippy toes a little bit.
Oh God. All right.
And she kind of steps forward through the crowd to get a better look.
Wait, I'm sorry. So these are little people?
Yeah. They're like tiny people looking things. They're like
okay.
Humanoid.
So they're like gnome things almost?
Yeah. It's probably the closest. Yeah, something like that.
All right.
You do smell freshly baked cookies in the air. And your tummy rumble.
Oh, God. Yeah, I fucking
to the
bet,
point
man.
That the hammer on your belt shakes. So you're at the base of this tree. You see all these cogs, right? You've got like some repair stuff with you. You've got you've got some tools. Good old fucking know-how. Over the course of a couple of hours, you break down this block from the inside. You find that there was a broken part about three quarters of the way up the trunk. You manage to repair it, no problem with the tools on you. Everything's reassembled. Again, a few hours time. Sweat just drips down your fucking brow. Stains your fucking shirt. You're on your hands and knees for a lot of this. And that one lady keeps getting closer and closer.
Is she good looking?
You know what? Yeah, she is.
Okay. So now I have to deal with my attraction to this sort of humanoid thing. Because I guess it's human, but it's not. Huh.
Yeah.
Is there anything like what makes them humanoid and not just fully human?
You know, they're just like the shapes of or like their ears or like their noses. They're just
Okay.
pointier. Again, they're smaller. They're a little squattier. You know, they're humanoid. Their
Okay.
skin isn't the same. You know,
What do you mean?
it's just a little different. It's just like probably a little tougher than like a human.
Okay.
You know, just in texture, but it you looked like a human. He has human like expressions and features and things like that.
All right. And you're saying I'm kind of into this.
And a big old set of yabos.
Really? That's kind of
Yeah.
cool. All right,
For
cool.
the
That's
space, of course, you know.
well, yeah, clearly.
She's a woman that you've noticed over the course of the day, you know. People have kind of come and gone, but she's been there pretty consistently. And, you know, she's brought you a glass of water a couple times.
She's just like watching me work.
Yeah, she's watching you work.
Oh,
She
man.
likes what she sees.
Okay.
So again, a few hours go by. You fix the clock. You come back to the bottom where Jenkins and crew, where everybody's at. And you say, well, I think I got it. We should be good to go. And Dinkins says, great. He says, all we have to do is we have to wait for the real time to match up with the time that's on the face of the clock. And everything will then be in motion.
Oh, sure.
He says, but until then, we imbibe. And he pulls out a fucking pipe, just a real like long ass pipe. You know, it's probably like 24 to 28 inches long. Very
Jeez.
Slim. And he's just getting ripped, right?
I get high as fuck with this dude for sure.
He passes you the pipe. You take a hit off that pipe and it tastes like chocolate chip cookies.
Oh no. Wow.
You're high immediately, more
Yeah.
high than maybe you've ever been. It's a different level, you know?
Sure.
He goes on to tell you that you have 7.5 hours until the time lines up. He goes, so this is when we can do whatever the fuck we want. He pulls out a gun.
What?
He fires it into the ceiling. Sawdust gets everywhere.
Holy shit.
You're very stoned. You sit down on this wooden bench. A familiar lady sits down next to you. And she says, Patrick, right?
This is the same woman who's been watching me all day.
Oh, yeah.
I go, yep. I extend my hand. Nice to meet you.
She takes your hand. She says, hi, my name is Juniper Mortimer.
Hey, Juniper. It's
hey,
nice
Pat.
To meet you. Did I call you by your full name or just?
She says, I prefer if you didn't.
Oh, God. All right. It's nice to meet you, Juniper.
She goes, my friends call me Junie.
I guess
She
I go.
She goes, my lovers call me June. She runs a finger from your knee up your thigh.
Oh, all right. I guess I start asking some questions. I think I go like, real quick, what exactly is the deal here? I come from outside of the tree. Like, I don't quite get what's going on here.
She goes, we live here.
Okay. And you just what, like take care of the clock? You're like
She was
maintenance
of the
or
tree. Yeah. The clock's part
okay.
of it. It's been broken for a little while now, but we, finally got Hugar to take care of it.
Okay. That's interesting, I guess.
She kind of scooches a little bit closer to you. She goes, "So tell me, Pat, is there a lady outside the tree?"
No.
She says, "Oh, interesting."
Yeah.
She scoots a little bit closer. Her knee touches yours. She puts an arm over the back of the bench. She goes, "We've got 7.5 hours left. And then I will never see you again."
Wow, yeah.
She's like, "I don't know anything about what happens outside of the tree. You don't know anything about what happens inside of the tree." She goes, "But I think we have one thing in common."
Yeah.
She looks down and you are just rock
Ah.
fucking hard.
All right. Well, let's get to it, I guess. Mean, I like think that. I don't say it, obviously.
So you go into the what is like the equivalent of a bedroom, and there's like a bed there. You guys begin coitus, right? The bed is made of wood, so it's not comfortable like at all. It's like pretty
No.
painful, honestly. But you're fucking, right? You're having what feels like the best sex of your entire life. And then you ejaculate and you turn back into a human and you blow up inside of the tree. You just explode. Yeah,
Oh
there's just guts everywhere.
Oh
Yeah.
fuck
You turn back to a
no.
human into like a very small space. And yeah, your blood, your guts, it just fills every single void along the way.
Oh
And like
no.
the people are outside of the bedroom just like with their arms linked, like ready to accept it. And basically once they're done and they get back on their feet, they like sweep all of your excess out of the front hole, and then they
Huh.
wash down the front of the tree, and then they close the fucking lid, and the tree of time begins clicking again. But you're just at a pile on the floor.
Oh my God, was I a sacrifice to to time itself, or
Don't know.
why
I
did I change back? God damn
don't know.
it.
It's just what happened.
Well, at least I died doing something pretty goddamn cool. Having sex with some sort of
Humanoid
elephant side
gal
of, yeah.
with big
Right.
Yabos,
Yeah, Yabo City.
the mayor.
Ah, man.